in the limelight.
The United Kingdom government, which supported the establishment of the fabricated regime of Israel decades ago, is now moving further toward the Zionist regime and its sinister goals. There are reports that new British Prime Minister Liz Truss has already promised Zionist regime Prime Minister Yair Lapid that she will review whether to move the UK's embassy to Al-Quds. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media for further details. Stay tuned for the third part, please. The fact that the British government believes it can pursue both deals at the same time also shows how the so-called Abraham Accords have shifted perceptions of what Britain can get away with in the region and the waning powers of the so-called Arabist at the Foreign Office. Indeed, during her leadership campaign, Truss tapped into the current British penchant for exploiting the struggle against anti-Jewish bigotry for political gain by accusing civil servants of anti-Semitism. Also warming every zealous pro-Zionist heart is a domestic agenda that includes an effort to ban local councils from pursuing their own boycott and divestment campaigns. The ban will primarily shield the fabricated regime of Israel from a growing boycott movement in the UK. A Truss government, therefore, looks set to shift UK policy away from its decades-old lip service to international law and into territory currently occupied only by the hikes and the likes of the US and Micronesia. British Daily Guardian reported the UK's position at the time was not out of altruistic humanitarianism, but as a reflection of its national interest, and it should maintain that awareness instead of doing an about-face in the worst possible fashion. To move the embassy to Al-Quds would be to recognize the Zionist regime's invasion and occupation of East Al-Quds as legitimate. Palestinians would quite rightly see this as a rejection of Britain's long-standing endorsement of the two-state solution, which they have always insisted includes a capital in East Al-Quds. It would be a final nail in the coffin of a policy that London has held for decades and which has allowed Britain to maintain good relations with both the Israelis and Palestinians. Guardian added, to recognize the invasion and occupation as legitimate would also come at a time when the UK is rightly aiding and assisting Ukraine in its struggle. How would London's credibility be taken seriously on Ukraine if it accepted an occupation in Al-Quds? It's not clear what the reasoning is. London already has excellent connections with the Zionist regime, so this isn't about repairing a broken relationship. Indeed, the Israelis themselves were not expecting this. In the occupied territories itself, there are numerous human rights defenders who are set against the move. They know that the Israeli regime already stands accused of perpetrating an apartheid regime system in the occupied territories that belongs to Palestinians, and that to avoid it becoming a permanent reality, a two-state solution is the only option that has widespread backing, a solution that would be dismembered with a move of the embassy. Britain's Arab allies in unison have expressed their full rejection of the idea. Even Arab states that have formal and full diplomatic relations with the fabricated regime of Israel have been clear that such a move would be out of bounds. A collective letter from Arab ambassadors in London has already been delivered to the Foreign Office, which says such a deal could jeopardize a free trade deal with the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council. Beyond Britain's Arab allies, it has a much wider set of relationships with the Commonwealth and Muslim-majority states worldwide. In much of the former, and certainly all of the latter, Al-Quds, as the place of the third holiest site in Islam, the Haram al-Sharif, or the Dome of the Rock, and Al-Aqsa Mosque, is incredibly important. This includes a large number of Britain's most crucial trading partners worldwide, with whom it will be no doubt trying to deepen and widen relations. Does Britain really want to endanger these relationships in exchange for nothing in return? Perhaps the Prime Minister is simply trying to create a new and bold impression with these kinds of moves. But such an impression will come at a great cost to British interest and bring no benefits at all. On a cross-party basis, Britons urgently need a unified course correction before irrevocable damage is done.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us once again on this special episode of Muslim Lady. As always, I have the honor and privilege of being joined in the studio with my darling sister and expert, Sister Razia Shamili. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So today we're going to talk about something super duper interesting. It's mostly interesting because I think a new study has found that the new generation is more narcissistic, is moving toward being more narcissistic
than the past
generations, which is a funny thing to say, to look at. But once you really break it down and analyze it, social media plays a huge part in that because it's more individual-centered. Mm. And the new generation is more entitled and more sheltered. And
more sheltered to do what?
More sheltered from the perils of life, you know?
Exposed to real life?
Yeah.
So they're just like, the whole life is just, a showcase?
Yeah, their life is just the roses and butterflies. And because it is so, I just remembered a very crazy interview on Dr. Phil, but more on that later. We're going to be talking about narcissism today. And a quick question. Since the name of the show is Muslim Lady, I just need to know, Sister Razia, statistically speaking, are men on average more narcissistic or women?
Definitely men based on statistics.
For reals?
Yes.
Interesting.
Very interesting. So, like...
But are we here to talk about narcissistic men or women?
Of men.
Okay.
But either cases, we're going to talk about... because so many times we've talked about issues that, our topic is the Muslim lady, mm-hmm. whatever revolves around the Muslim lady's life. Mm-hmm. So whether it's herself who's a narcissist or whether she marries a narcissistic person.
Yep.
So either way, our topic is going to be dealing with any of the two. So we're not going to say whether a man or a woman, but we're assuming that we're going to bring about detailed information about what kind of life you will have if you marry, if you're a woman and you marry a narcissistic husband. And that is something that your blood will come to boil I'll tell you.
I know. It makes like...
It is so...
It makes a hair on the back of my neck stand straight.
It just definitely thinking about should. It definitely
it's
should.
It's such a scary situation to be in because narcissists can be super manipulative.
Exactly.
And they're so abusive. And they don't even know they're doing it.
Exactly.
Man, sucks for them. Okay, so let's get into it.
So we have a good narcissist and a bad narcissist.
All right. Here, we're trying to discuss partners to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
People to avoid as partners.
Yeah. For number one, the first aspect of our discussion is going to be if you're dating or like if you're seeing this guy for if this guy has proposed to you and you want to get married to him, we're going to introduce. We're not psychologists. We're researchers, and based on our you know what we have read, we're going to provide information for you. And still, like you can refer to a psychologist or you can go to counseling sessions mm-hmm. for more tangible and in-depth info, understanding.
Yeah, this is just an eye-opener,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Mm. And Zainab, subhanAllah, that this kind of information open your eyes. It's to the, to the depth of the word, it's an eye-opener.
Mm.
And it doesn't really matter how old you are because these traits... Because if you're raised in a family or in an environment where you were always pampered and everything was provided for you and you were always like praising your life by your parents and everyone like
you're always celebrated.
You were always celebrated. Then you don't really know what it means to be around a narcissist.
Mm.
So this information that we are inshallah will provide for you in this program, pay really careful close attention, because it will happen to you. As you said in the beginning of the program, more and more people are getting moving towards narcissism. I think it's very logical because once God was rejected in life in the many, many years ago when humanism was brought into the attention of mankind and they mm-hmm. thought that, we don't need God anymore. We don't need religion anymore. We human beings can take care of all our needs, all our problems. And then little by little, people became so self-centered. They became so individualistic in life that they only cared about themselves. And so many material values became valuable for people. For example, more power, more social status, more wealth, all these provide the context or the circumstances where you become prone to be a narcissist. Everyone sees the brand of the watch that you're wearing. Mm. Everyone sees the car that you're driving. Everyone sees like the meters of the house that you're living in. Everyone sees the country that you are in. So your worth, your value, your whole
identity
is based on how much wealth you have in life. So this will automatically drive you to narcissism. This is very natural, right? Anyhow.
I was actually just a quick like... There was this interview on Dr. Phil, and he had this young chap on his show. And the guy, he was like totally flamboyant, annoying type Gen Z. And the topic of discussion was his followers and his social media page. And then the kid straight up said that I've cut off my family. And Dr. Phil was like, why? FYI, just for the record, I don't even like Dr. Phil. But this particular interview was just so interesting to me. And the kid was like, because my family members, like, don't have any followers. Why would I be, like, talking to my mom? She's not even relevant. If she had followers and she was, like, something and she could bring followers from me, yeah, I'd talk to her. But she doesn't. So who is she?
Oh, my God.
And my jaw just dropped to the floor. I was like, please tell me this is made up. But it wasn't. That is like narcissism in its greatest, most ridiculous form. How self-centered and entitled and oblivious people can be.
It is so, so sad, Zainab.
It's so sad because they lead such lonely lives.
You know, one of the questions that kept coming up in my mind was, what actually leads to narcissism?
Yep, yep, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
What is it in you? What is it? What happens in your life during the life of your course that leads you to this hellish? Did you know that this is a psychological disorder?
Yeah, of course.
It's actually a kind of
psychopath.
Exactly. You become a person, you turn into this monster where you're constantly, you feel you have no, like this is basically because you have no self-confidence.
Yes.
You have inner deep within, from deep within, you have very shallow little self-confidence. And you're like doing all this, you're putting all these masks, you're attaining wealth and position, and you're having this kind of treatment. You have this abusive relationship in your romantic relationship with your spouse just to cover up your petty soul. Mm-hmm. I mean, your
to fill that
insignificant essence. Yeah. You're nothing. You're seriously nothing.
They try to mask that. That's their coping mechanism.
This is so, so sad.
Exactly. Because they were so... I mean, like, narcissism happens in two ways. Mm-hmm. It's either someone was broken so much and their self-esteem and self-respect was shattered so much as a child, and that they were so traumatized, they resorted to creating this false identity for themselves. Mm-hmm. Or they were so super freaking sheltered, they don't even know what their real life is. The smallest bit of criticism destroys their reality. They become so entitled that they feel the entire universe revolves around them.
Exactly. They see themselves, as you said, the center of the universe. Mm-hmm. So one thing that we can talk about is good narcissists and bad narcissists. So good narcissists, they're actually able to identify their tendencies of selfishness, and they really sometimes work hard to avoid them. Mm. Like, they know what the problem is with them, because the problem is that, let me just finish with this. But as a result of their neurological limitations, because it's something, it has to do with your neurons and like the system of your brain and like how your brain functions, they're often deficient in being successful. They know that they have a problem with themselves, like psychologically, mentally, but they're not able to solve it. These are called good narcissists. And bad narcissists, on the other hand, do not have any kind of concern or reaction to the impact of their behavior on others. They don't really give a fig on how what you're saying and how you're treating others influence them. And they can be seen as showing the same qualities as a psychopath.
Oh, my goodness.
Imagine this. So bad narcissists are, in general, they're very insecure. And they have great concern for how others perceive them. That's why they have so much charm. That's why they work so hard to become rich. Or
they're so self-conscious.
So self-conscious. And, you know, Zainab, I more than being scared from them, I feel sorry for them.
Truly. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Muslim Lady here on IRB English Radio. We'll be back after a short break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Bad narcissists, on the other hand, they will, despite all the hardships that they have in life and all the hardships that they bring to other miseries, that they bring other people to other people's lives, they are so unhappy. They are so, I don't know, their life
is so
meaningless, so empty, right? So let me tell you more about, a narcissistic person. These people, as you said earlier, they're very charming. They have a very charming personality. This is very interesting because when they appear in the public, the way they are dressed, the way their body language is, like they're having tea in a very beautiful way, like you know, the way their body gesture, their body position,
the way they carry themselves,
the way they carry themselves, the way they dress, the way they match their, like, the setting, matching, like, pants and shirt and, like, if they're
accessories
and, like, makeup and hairstyle, everything is so
immaculate,
well designed.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is something that they have a good amount of skill in because they have worked on it. Whatever you want to develop in yourself, it will come to perfection. And subhanAllah, narcissists are so good in presenting themselves. Their selection of words, their tone of voice, their appearance, their hairstyle, everything is so carefully selected that they would be so driven to them, that they would have wonderful charms, that people would really, not all people would be attracted
to
them.
Not everyone falls for it.
Not everyone. But some,
I mean, everyone falls for it at the beginning.
Yeah.
But then some people are smart enough to identify, okay, you're a narcissistic jerk. Let's back off now.
Exactly. So this is something that they have.
All right, that's really cool, but that's just the tip of the iceberg, you guys. There's so much more. We're going to talk about the topic of narcissists and people to avoid as partners on top of that list. Here on Muslim Lady, we've been discussing the partners that should be avoided, and narcissists are on top of that list. More on that on future episodes. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
For thought.
Salam, everybody. Today, on the 9th of Rabiul Awwal, the first day of the start of the mission of the Lord of the Age, the Prophet's 12th and last infallible successor, Imam Mahdi, peace upon him, following the martyrdom of his father, Imam Hassan Askari, peace upon him, the day before, here is a saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, regarding the awaited savior of mankind, who is presently in occultation by the will of God, and will reappear in the end times to establish the global government of peace, prosperity, and justice. The earth shall never be devoid of the divine proof. He may be apparent and prominent, or he may be concealed and hidden. And it is because of him that the proofs and signs of Allah are not wasted.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing. An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and cost a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. Okay, and so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge? How much power do you want to be able to draw from it? So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions, while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, five with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They're growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent two decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports. A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out three patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC. They're back as India has revealed or released several of them into the grasslands of Kuna National Park after a 70-year absence in the country. The eight radio-coloured African cheetahs made the long journey from Namibia. The big cats were released during a ceremony by Prime Minister Narendra Modi that coincided with his birthday. After their acclimation in the national park, they will be released into a 5-hectare spread of land in central India covered by grassland and forest. The felines will share the landscape with other animals and roam with leopards, sloths and striped hyenas. Their reintroduction is the culmination of a 13-year effort to restore the species, which vanished from the country decades ago. Another 12 cheetahs are expected to join the fledgling Indian population next month from South Africa. With more funding, the country hopes to gradually increase the population of cheetahs to around 40. World Cleanup Day unites millions of volunteers, governments and organizations to tackle the global waste problem and build a sustainable world. People in several countries joined the efforts again for a waste-free world. Volunteers were seen in mangrove forests in the suburb of Bangkok. They collected more than 1.5 tons of rubbish in just a few hours. Trash picking events were also held in the Philippines and Vietnam. In Hanoi, hundreds, mostly students, armed with metal tongs and sacks, walked along major roads. They said their aim is to raise awareness about protecting the environment. In Manila, people cleaned up the city's beaches that are major tourist attractions. The annual cleanup day has been running for over a decade. From divers collecting marine debris to children picking up trash on beaches have just one goal: make our planet a cleaner place.
Chinese astronauts are celebrating their first ever mid-autumn festival in outer space while sharing their otherworldly experience with people on Earth. The crew had a close-up view of the moon from China's Tiangong space station and their third month in space. On the occasion, the ground crew organized a series of celebrations, including a family reunion for the astronauts. The ground crew also prepared elaborate food packages that had been prepared before the launch of the spacecraft. Typically, the traditional festival is kicked off by the first viewing of the full moon on the 15th day of the 8th month of the lunar calendar. Despite being able to see the moon rise and set 16 times a day, the astronauts say the moon is special on this occasion.
Thank you. today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Salamun alaikum, dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you very much for joining us on IRIB English Radio and this episode of today's special. We're speaking about poverty in Islam. Today, Thursday, is the 9th of Rabiul Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Mehr, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of October, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter Baqara, verse 276.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. يمحق الله الربا ويربي الصدقات والله لا يحب كل كفار أثيم.
Allah destroys interest and gives increase for charities, and Allah does not like every sinning disbeliever.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse admonishes that though a usurer takes interest from others in order to compile wealth, Allah seizes the abundance and good results that He expects from the grass of wealth gained through usury. The property resulted from usury may not necessarily be obliterated itself, but the goals which are considered from compiling wealth fail. In the course of usury, there is no love, happiness, or security, so that many a rich person can gain no sort of comfort, peace, or amiability from their wealth. On the contrary, in the regulations where there is charity or donation and good loan, people enjoy of many favors.
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see is thanks to you.
We're speaking about poverty in the view of Islam. The reason and causes of poverty are various. Poverty might be a pure test from Allah, and it might be a punishment for some sins, and it could result due to unemployment. It might also be due to a given group of people looting or exerting a monopoly on the money, public treasury, and preventing others from it. There are many other reasons. Poverty has had consequences. It could lead to many bad social and moral circumstances, like the spread of insecurity, crisis, theft, armed robbery, kidnapping, ethnic crisis, bribery, and corruption, and so forth. The poor hating the rich is yet another consequence of poverty.
Thank you.
Sheikh Rouhani.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear and respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Poverty is one of the very significant and at the same time challenging subject and topic that can be discussed from different perspectives. First, we should teach our people how to tolerate problems, challenges, difficulties, hardships, so that they become able to solve their problems, to get a better life in terms of economy and in terms of spirituality and religious kind of teachings and doctrines as well. So this is the first step. I think from the perspective of Islam, this is a very important lesson that we must take from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Secondly, once you become strong enough to tolerate hardships and challenges and difficulties in your life, then of course you can go forward and you can step forward to solve your problems and to achieve a better life, to identify better chances, better situations, to pursue a better kind of models and ways and solutions in your life. This is what we see practically in the history of Islam. While in those beginning days of Islam, the Prophet and the companions of the Prophet, they were the poorest people in Mecca. Because the people like Abu Sufyan was a very rich person. And he had lots of camels, lots of properties, facilities. Not only Abu Sufyan, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, and the other tribal figures, they were rich enough to do whatever they wanted to do with the Prophet and with the companions. But because of this strengthness of Prophet and the companions, spiritually and mentally, these companions were able to face these problems and finally to conquer, to succeed. This is what we should take from the Prophet's life and from the companions' life.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain.
From among the means prescribed by Islam to solve poverty is this prohibition on riba, usury, gambling, and deceit in selling. Allah says, of course, the interpretation of the meaning is, O you who believe, fear Allah and give up what remains due to you from riba from now onward, if you are really believers. It was narrated that the Messenger of Allah passed by a pile of foodstuff. He put his hand in it and found that it had gotten wet. He said, What is this, O seller of the foodstuff? He said, It got rained on, O the Messenger of Allah. He said, Why don't you put it on top of the food so that the people can see it? Whoever deceives people does not belong to me. That is because if these things are done and become widespread among people, it means that some are taking people's wealth unlawfully and people may lose all their wealth because of them. Hence, the text clearly forbid them.
You're the reason my life's worth living. You're the reason I'm alive. Without you, you're the reason that I strive. You're my destiny. You're my revenue.
now we go for tips of our infallible imams for helping the poor and needy. One of them is establishing a zakat committee. How can Muslims pay their zakat in their local communities to benefit the poor and needy if there is no structure to distribute the contribution to those who need it? Establish a zakat committee at your mosque, masjid, or Islamic center, which will take care of collecting and distributing zakat. Don't forget to be careful in distributing the zakat. Make sure you are not giving only to those people you know personally who are in need, or even worse, only those people who are part of your ethnic group. Remember that there are those who are the poor and needy from all backgrounds, and they have a right to zakat money too. There are also those who don't make their neediness and poverty obvious, so they need to be discreetly sought out and given zakat money.
Allah says, O you people, every one of you, every single one of you has been created by me are indeed poor. And I am the wealthy. That is why Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen says to Jabir in one of his admonishments to him, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, to Imam Hassan, he says, show your independence to what people have and own. Meaning, show your sovereignty to them. When you deal with people, show them you don't need them. Don't act in a way where it shows people that this guy needs me. This guy needs my money. This guy needs my wealth. This guy is in need of my position. No, deal with them, whoever there may be, in a state of sovereignty and independence. Listen, I don't need you. I need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a funny story, Buhlul once went to one of the khulafa. And he said to him, he actually has two beautiful stories. I'm going to share them both. So Buhlul was sitting in front of the palace of the king, or the khalifa, the so-called khalifa. And he says, Allahumma rizqni min rizqika al-halal. Oh Allah, give me. A poet came and he says to him, Buhlul, you're sitting right in front of this king's palace. Go in and ask him, he'll give you. So he says, Buhlul says to the poet, why are you here? He says, because I have prepared a poem for the king. I'm going to read it to him, and he's going to give me. So Buhlul says, okay, why don't you do that? I'm going to be here waiting for Allah to give me. So the poet went, and he had prepared a beautiful poem. He read it for the king. The king did something really weird. He gave the poet a chicken, a barbecue chicken. So that the poet, he couldn't tell the king, you know, why did you give me a barbecue chicken? What am I going to do with this? I came for money. Because you would have gotten killed. So he took the chicken. He came out and he said, Buhlul, you're so lucky. I don't need the barbecue chicken. You can have this. So Buhlul began to eat the chicken. And apparently this king liked surprises. So he had stuffed the chicken with golden coins. So Buhlul ate the chicken and took the golden coins.
Brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Inshallah, we'll learn about Islamic views on poverty more on the next episode of today's special, tomorrow, inshallah. Thank you for joining us. We leave you in Allah's protection and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyun Imami, Lafata illa Ali, Aliyun Imami, Aliyun Imami, Aliyun Imami. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi. محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.